between them and us. And I think there's more to numbers than just a number. I think there's a spiritual aspect to the numbers, and I think you kind of know where I'm going with it. I believe we're grafted into the 144,000. And I'll just say it, we'll get into it. I think we're of the tribe of Joseph, Ephraim, who is not mentioned. When you read the 144,000 in Revelation 7 and Revelation 14, well, the same chapter is the resurrection of the Gentile nations. And we'll get into this. But I just, when you read Revelation 7, Ephraim is not mentioned. But Manasseh and Joseph are. And Ephraim and Manasseh were sons of Joseph. And when God took Jacob, and Jacob took Joseph's sons, he said, "These are as they were born unto me." So you could see they're being grafted in. So now you have 14 tribes. So I won't get into it, but I just to generalize, that's where I believe we're going. I think you kind of see where I was going with it, because in some of these studies, you can see that, you turn to Revelation 14, you could see that, first of all, they're in Mount Zion. The 144,000, they're on Mount Zion, and Mount Zion's not on the earth. It's in heaven. That's where we're going to be caught up to meet him. We saw that there was a new song, that they sang a new song, and yet we learned that we'd learned this new song. Mm-hmm. So there's no difference between us and them and the new song, and then that they were, past tense, they were redeemed. Mm-hmm. The same, and then we looked at this last week, the same way we are redeemed.
Right.
The same pattern, the same gospel, the same covenant of grace to them. They're redeemed the same way we are. And right now they are virgins. We looked at this last week, that in the kingdom to come, you neither marry or are married, but are not for procreating, but are as virgins. And Paul even said that the church is going to be presented as a virgin,
yeah,
a chaste virgin. So their virgins were virgins. They follow Jesus wherever he goes. It doesn't say they're followers of Jesus. It says they follow him, which means wherever he is, they're following him, and he's not here. So he's in heaven. And then, like I said, that they are virgins. But we're going to look at this part here. This, is, to me, is a fascinating study. I think it tells us a lot. We saw that God's name is written in their forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And we also saw that for us.
His name will be.
That's right. And that's not the sealing of the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You had to receive the Holy Spirit because the name written in your forehead is resurrection.
Right.
And we saw that with the church and with this group of people. So if you look at it, he calls that the first fruits. In Revelation 14, we'll just start. This is where we've been starting these texts and these studies. Revelation 14, I'm just going to go through these again. 14:1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his father's name written in their forehead. And I heard a voice from heaven as a voice of many waters, and a voice of a great thunder, and I heard a voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sung a new song before the throne, and before the four beasts and the elders, and no man could learn the song but the 144,000, which were redeemed from the earth. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and unto the Lamb. So the first fruits, this is our next study. That they're the first fruits. Turn to Romans 8. Okay, Romans 8, look at 1 through 4. There is now no condemnation in them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's key. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ had made me free from the law of sin and death. for what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So you can see there's a key here, and that's the Spirit dwelling within the believer. 9:9-11. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But the Spirit of him that, here's the key, the Spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So you can see, who raised Christ? The Holy Spirit.
The Spirit did. Yeah.
But then I'm told that Christ raised himself, and I'm told that the Father raised Christ.
Yeah.
So you can see that they're all one, right? But it's here. The key is that, you know, he's telling you that the Holy Spirit raised Jesus Christ, and he's talking about a resurrection here. 14. For as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, where we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If we suffer with him, we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to compare with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So you can see he's talking about a resurrection that's coming. He's talking about that we're going to get an inheritance, that Christ is the king, and we're going to inherit whatever he gives us. And it's by the Spirit that these things are being done. Okay, so I'm just going to keep reading here.
Yeah,
this is good stuff. I love Romans 8, because Romans 8, you know, think time too. Think eschatology. Think the timing of these things too. It's not just that there's going to be a resurrection and the Spirit is going to raise the dead, but the timing of it. I'm just going to keep reading. 19, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Jesus said, it does not yet appear what... No, Jesus didn't say it. John said it. It says, it does not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So when he appears, that's when we're resurrected. For the creature was made subject unto vanity, not willingly, but reason of him that hath subjected the same in hope. But the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption to a glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. So here you go. This is what it's going to say. What we're looking at in Revelation 14, the first fruits. These were the first fruits. And not only they, but also ourselves. Who not only they? Who's the not only they?
It's the ones them, before us.
The ones before us. The ones in Revelation 14 that had the first fruits. Right? For we ourselves also, but which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So you can see right here, the first fruits is you receiving the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. That's the first fruits. But Christ, we're going to chase this, Christ is the first fruits of the resurrection, which means that there is a first fruit that you have to receive the Holy Spirit first, and then there's going to be a resurrection that comes with the fruit.
21 referring to the world giving up its captives.
Or the creature itself shall be made, shall be delivered. I think what you're seeing here is the recreation of everything when Christ comes, that he's going to set everything free back to the way it was in the garden, a perfect world.
But I mean that you no longer have to war with that flesh.
And right.
That's what they consider captive, right?
Well, that's what we are all in bondage of right now.
Right.
The curse of sin that came from Adam's time. Because Adam sinned and it was passed on throughout the generations. In fact, all of nature got cursed because of Adam's sin. It wasn't just the humans, but lions eating gazelles, right?
Yeah.
All of that stuff.
Yeah.
So when God says, you'll no longer hold my people captive, that's 21 is connecting with that, right?
For the creature itself shall also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God.
That's the flesh.
Right? Yeah, well, I think what you're seeing here is everything that's been oppressed is now going to be set free. Even nature itself, even the animal kingdom, is now going to be set free from the fall of man. That it's now going to be glorified. Perfected.
18 is hinting that it's going to be revealed in us.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the
creature means animal, not man.
Right.
Specifically.
Right.
Differentiating.
Yeah.
About
yeah.
creation.
Yep. Yeah, I agree.
Man.
When man gets manifested, when the resurrection happened, the creature is going to be perfected again too.
Mm-hmm.
We are no longer going to slaughter animals to eat them. Right? We're going to go back to the way it was originally, and there will
Eating
be...
Eating bugs.
That's right. I think we're going to be husbandmen. Right?
Back in the Levitical law, wasn't there a law about the like a gift of the first fruit?
Yeah.
Yes,
there was
a way
yeah.
of certain percent.
Yeah, you harvested, which is... You harvested the first fruit, and then you separated bad from good. So there's a harvest. We're going to look at all this. This is a great study. We're going to get into that, Kev. Yeah, there's a harvest that comes with the first fruits. And Jesus was the spring harvest. He rose. It calls him the first fruits of the spring harvest that you offered to God. You didn't eat it. You didn't bring it into your barn. You harvested it, and you offered it to God. Well, the Bible says that first fruit of Christ was on the morrow after the Sabbath. So he rose on the morrow after the Sabbath, Sunday, and he became the first fruits of the resurrection that was offered to God. It's beautiful. I'm glad you brought that up, but we're going to look more into it. So I think where I'm going with this is there is a... It's not only that the first fruits is receiving the Holy Spirit, there's a resurrection that is promised to the first fruits. First Peter, so this is us and them, as we saw. They needed to see. One thing this church gets, they're not saved any different than it. We're all saved the same way. By the grace of God, the covenant of the grace of God, believe and God will save you. And that's the first fruits of receiving. You can't believe unless the Holy Spirit dwells within you.
That's what they mean by hope, right? Is faith.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the hope is, my hope is not something that I wish for. Right? Yeah. It's not something you're wishing for.
Right.
Oh, gee, I hope. No, it's knowing.
Yeah.
Like we were saying Friday night, it's knowing he's alive and well.
Faith is what gives you your hope.
That's right.
Which then gives you your charity.
That's right.
Amen. It does. You're right.
What I say, First Peter, mm-hmm. First Peter 1. I got a feeling we're just going to read here again too. First Peter 1. Yeah, let's just start reading. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strange. First Peter 1, right?
1:1.
Right.
1:1.
Stranger scattered abroad to Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus. Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So what's our lively hope? Resurrection, right? So you can see that these things are pointing to a resurrection, verse 4, to an inheritance. What are we going to inherit? Uncorruptible. Does that word sound familiar?
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 15 says we're getting an uncorruptible body.
Yes.
To an inheritance, uncorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. Where is your resurrected body?
Reserved.
It's in heaven.
Right.
It's in heaven.
So you mean we're not just going to
be right?
sparkling beings
yeah.
float off
yep.
of the earth.
Yeah, and everybody's going to see you.
Yeah, everyone's going to see you. You're, you know, what we've all been taught that the resurrection is supposed to look like.
Yeah.
That we'll hear the trumpet sound and everybody who's in Christ will, well, the dead will rise first and everybody else will rise after them.
That body, he's bringing that body with you,
with
him.
Yes, with
him. And we're going to be put into those bodies. The cloud of witnesses in Hebrews 12:1 is us.
We've got to die.
Absolutely.
Physically.
Yeah.
This mortal has to put on immortality. This mortal must die. This flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God.
That's right. Don't forget the ones in Revelation that are under the altar.
Yes.
This picture, this scene is in heaven. They're under the altar and they're saying, how long, Lord, holy and true, dost thou judge the world? And white robes are given to them.
Hold on,
where?
Please.
In heaven. They're not, they're not been put on yet.
Right. Yeah.
They're given to them. Where? In heaven. The resurrection is there when we meet him. That's why, you know, I love this because I've always heard people say, well, no, you know, people are going to literally come right out of their graves, resurrect. He's going to put that new body on you in heaven, but there is a remnant that is going to be put on here. The Jew.
So the new flesh wasn't even an option until Jesus died, right?
Correct. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Before then, they were held in Abraham's bosom.
That's right.
Which was right across the stream.
That's
the
right.
Gulf between heaven and earth.
Nobody's been resurrected.
Now.
Nobody
right.
has been resurrected. No human being, Enoch, nobody has been resurrected. Only Jesus Christ has been resurrected.
So the 144,000, so they were in Abraham's bosom?
Yeah, I would say they were in Abraham's bosom.
Yes.
Yeah. Their souls.
Mm-hmm.
Don't
just
forget
like the souls under the altar.
That's
no
right.
difference.
That's right.
Okay.
Don't forget when you read the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, the rich man can touch, feel, but yet he's not resurrected.
Which tells you
that he has a physical body that would be his soul. Now we're waiting for that soul to be clothed with either righteousness or
corruption.
Corruption. Forever,
so,
wheat and tares.
So when Jesus went down to rescue them, or went down to hell, he brought the 144,000 out of there?
Plus.
He brought all the saints that died up into heaven.
Mm-hmm. Whoever was in Abraham's bosom, whoever they were, because it talks about the poor man was outside the rich man's gate, Lazarus.
Yeah.
Even him, that the dogs were licking his sores just a day before.
That's right.
Even him. You know, not the... He's not one of the 144,000, but even him was part of that group.
So the first fruits, was that possible before Jesus' death? Or
well,
it wasn't possible?
Sure. The first that never changed.
Okay.
The first fruits is the receiving of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
That's the first fruit.
But that new flesh was not a hope until Jesus died.
Right, right. Okay, so let's back up here again to verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God, that's the Holy Spirit, through faith unto salvation, when? Ready to be revealed in the last time. See, everything's pointing to the last day, the last time. Wherein you greatly rejoice now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. We're in tribulation right now. Temptations are tribulation.
Yeah, they are.
That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. What's he going to do? He's going to burn everything up when he comes, and he's going to purify the saints, and he's going to burn the wicked. Even the earth is going to get burned up and get purified, right? By fire.
Tom doesn't say everybody lays down, but the people that he calls, they rise up.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. I think when Curtis and Allison did that blanket that time, I think that's the fire coming down. That is purifying the earth, purifying the saints, and it's burning the sinner.
Yeah. For consuming all unrighteousness.
That's right.
Okay, not just the sinner, but
yeah.
because of all creation that's
all
growing.
Creation.
That, everything that was that was affected by the fall gets consumed by the fire.
That'd be the physical flesh.
The planet itself. The physical,
anything
corrupted,
yes,
is now being purified.
Right.
By the. It's not, like we've said, it's not some combustible fire you're cooking on the grill on. This is a holy fire,
yes,
coming down that is purifying, right?
A little bit different than what we think of fire in the fireplace.
Well, he compares it to gold. How
yeah.
do you purify gold? You get out all the dross by burning it.
Are you going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11, talking about the foundation, how every man's work is going to be judged by fire?
I don't have that, but if you want to go there.
Okay.
Well, let's just finish this.
Yeah, finish that.
Okay.
You give me the...
So, once again, look at the timing. It's going to be tried by fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Well, he only appears one more time.
Right.
Right? He doesn't appear. He's already appeared once.
There's not a secret.
That's
right.
There's not a secret appearing. There's not an appearing 7 years before and then 7 years later. He appears one more time. When? At the end of the world. Whom having not seen, ye love. This we talked about this Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen him. We talked about Thomas.
Yeah.
And, you know, when Thomas had said, when Jesus had said,
that's
right. And Jesus had said to him, Thomas, you, although you have seen, you believe. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. Like we were saying Friday night, he's more alive to me than Amanda sitting there.
Right.
There's no doubt in my mind, if you could push over 100%, Jesus Christ is alive and well, and I am going to see him, although I have never seen him. Why? Because he did this to us.
Yeah.
Right? Why are we here? Why do we do this? Why do we have such passion to live godly lives and to walk with him? He did it, not me. He changed my life.
And to go along with that, what I'm seeing in Tom is not the real Tom. I mean, that is, if this time and space continuum, that's real Tom. But the real Tom's on the inside of
right.
him.
Right, yeah.
That's the corruption of Tom.
This is going to come off.
Right. This corruption that you
see right
here, this flesh, is a picture of sin, is a picture of corruption. And this corruption has to be taken off.
Has to.
So
it has no part in his kingdom.
Right. There is something inside of me that nobody but God has seen.
That's right.
And the difference of people marrying... because of their love of the flesh.
That's
the person,
right.
Yes. Or the soul of the person.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Like we're soulmates, or I just like the way you look and you look like
and,
you're going to be something I desire.
And
looking is fleeting. That's why they have plastic surgery to move that fleeting back. But it's still fleeting.
You know, when you were talking about the fire coming down and all that, I was picturing what happened with the flood.
I
think that fire might be coming from both directions.
Right,
yes.
Right.
And notice what happened in that flood. Everything was pushed down.
Right.
All flesh was pushed down.
That's right. The only thing going up was what?
The
people in the ark.
Yeah.
Right? You had
everything
the people. While the flood was coming down, they were going up. While wrath was coming down, the saved people were going up in the ark. And who's the ark? Christ. It's a beautiful picture. There is going to be a rapture. We don't,
and
you know.
And the earth was changed then, like it will be.
That's right.
For the new one.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And the promise was that he will never flood the earth with water again.
We
but I'm going to burn it up the next time. Right?
Those are two cleansing things.
Yes.
Water is a universal cleanser. And fire does that.
Oh, absolutely.
Even John the Baptist said, I'm baptizing with water, but there's one coming after me that will baptize you with the Spirit and with fire.
Well, think of this, too.
Yeah.
What was the token that he put in the sky that he would not flood the earth?
The rainbow.
Was,
and
who is the who has a rainbow around his throne? And who's coming? Christ. So when he comes again, he's going to burn up the earth. And he's going to purify. It's beautiful.
An emerald rainbow. An emerald bow.
A seven-colored rainbow, not a six, like the Sodomites use.
Yeah.
Six, the number of man, the number of sin, right? God's perfect rainbow.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Verse 8, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom though Now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with unspeakable and full of glory. Yeah, yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which, so here it is, of which salvations the prophets have inquired to search diligently who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you.
Yeah.
Those prophets in the Old Testament were saying, wait a minute, you're going to save the Gentiles? How? They're a bunch of pagan worshiping,
yeah,
Trump loving, football painting, face painters. You're going to save them? And yet we look back and we go, the Jew? How are you going to save the Jew? They've rejected you.
Right.
He's a God of grace. So searching for what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them. The Spirit of Christ in who? The Old Testament saints.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
Did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but also unto us, same Holy Spirit, same gospel, they did minister to things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. I don't even understand this. How does this... You know, we said the hymn there, how does the Holy Spirit move?
Mm-hmm.
The wind blows. I don't know how it moves, but it moved.
Mm-hmm.
And it took hold of me.
Yeah.
Right? It's not by any intelligence or thoughtful things I understood these things and I pontificated on them. Absolutely not. It was very simple. You're a sinner. Yes, I am. Christ died. Yes, he did for me. Thank you, Jesus. I'll run with that.
There you go. Go ahead, Lynn.
Oh, it is a constant theme, even through the Old Testament. You can see in Isaiah chapter 51, where it talks about, you know, God, you know, putting out his cup of fury, but he only does it once. And then it shows that the people that we're laying down, awake, awake, you know, put on your garments.
Yeah, yeah.
So it does seem like nobody is really going to survive in a fleshly body.
Yeah, if you really understand eschatology,
right,
it's just...
Well, if you understand the Bible, not just the end time,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, eschatology is wonderful, don't get me wrong. But everybody has got to die to go.
That's right.
To the next dimension.
Yeah,
that's right.
I don't know any religion that teaches that.
No, even in Christianity,
yeah,
even in fundamentalist
Christianity, yeah,
they
but
don't
the Bible
teach
makes
this.
A whole heck of a lot,
yeah,
more sense when you can see.
Don't
that.
Forget, Lance. When God says that we are not appointed to wrath, it's very simple.
But
we are appointed to tribulation.
Yeah.
When you read God's wrath, Sodom and Gomorrah, the flood.
Jericho.
Nobody survives it.
That's,
nobody survived it except the believer.
That's what it means by the captives, too.
Right.
The captive in the flesh.
That's
of the body.
Right.
It talks about it in Isaiah 52, verse 2. Says, shake
he's been hooked on Isaiah
dust,
lately.
Arise and sit down
before that.
Loose thyself from the bands of thy neck, O captive daughter of Zion.
Yeah. Yeah,
and before that,
yep,
it's talking about them rising. And
absolutely,
new garments.
So, and this is how you understand the Bible. When you read the Bible and you're reading Isaiah, he's clearly talking,
mm-hmm,
about an event that's going to take place to Israel at,
right,
that time. But it doesn't stop there.
Mm-hmm.
It's multidimensional. He's also pointing to a future time.
It's representative.
It's right. It's a typology. It's a picture of things that are going to take place in the future too. So you could apply them.
Yeah.
And what you do read is, when God pours his wrath out,
mm-hmm, yeah,
the only one to come through that are God's children. Everybody else gets destroyed.
And only a few. In all,
yep,
of those things, Jericho, only Rahab,
yeah,
and her kids.
Look at,
right,
Jericho. Look at a picture,
yeah,
of Jericho. You have seven trumpets,
mm-hmm, well,
blowing, right? And they ascend up.
Yep.
The walls fall down.
Mm-hmm.
And they're ascending up. And they destroy Jericho. Nobody is left except the harlot.
And her family.
That's right.
Oh, Mary, so good to see you.
Hello, little one.
The wee one has made it.
Did you want to go to?
Yeah,
go ahead.
Because we're talking about the end times and stuff, and it brought me to thinking about 1 Corinthians and the foundation of Christ. 3:11 says, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. For now, if any man build upon this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day, which day? That day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try, test, tribulation,
right?
Every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he build thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Spirit, the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him God destroys. Him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which you are. Let no man deceive himself." All right, and he goes on. Right, so in that, what we've been talking about, the fire coming down, every man's work being tested,
tried
with fire. The only thing that's going to survive is the things that are holy before God.
What did he say? I'm going to shake not only the heavens but the earth. The only thing left standing are things that
can't
be shaken. That's us.
Right.
We're the ones who can't be shaken.
Mm-hmm.
He says his work.
That's
right.
Right.
It's like the humans are like grass, right?
That's
all
right.
Going to be gone.
He's going to burn it up.
The heavens are going to melt or
whatever. Yeah, all flesh is grass.
But his word remains. And I think that's why it also refers to when they rise, he calls them by their name.
That's right. And he's going to give them a new name. When? At the resurrection.
It's you're in remembrance.
That's right. You don't have to turn there, but you turn to James 1.
It is interesting.
But actually, look at 1 Peter 12, 1 Peter 4, if you're still there in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 4, 12. You know, we apply this to today, which you can. But this is literally going to happen too.
Yeah.
1 Peter 4, 12. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which shall try you."
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
Right? "As though some strange thing happened to you." This is going to be strange. This has never been seen before. A fiery trial that's going to try the world, and the only things that are going to be left standing are the ones that are purified.
And the beautiful thing that you choose, it's going to happen all at once,
yeah,
all over the world.
That's right.
This wickedness that has happened in our lifetime here happened all at once. It happened all over
that's
the
right.
world. So the purification has got to happen the same way. It can't be bits and parts and pieces.
That's
praise
right.
God.
So yeah. look at verse 13. "But rejoice, rejoice, insomuch you are partakers of Christ's suffering."
Yeah.
Rejoice in the suffering, right? "That when his glory shall be revealed." When is he revealed? The last day.
Last
trial. Right? "That ye may be glad with exceeding joy, and ye... if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." It's just wonderful. Just wonderful verses. James?
I think when it says resteth too, it's saying that's going to be revealed.
That's comforting.
Mm-hmm.
Something that's resting on you is comforting.
But it's also going to be revealed.
Absolutely.
Form.
You know, we've said it before.
Resting,
when you read about the great tribulation that's going to take place and the persecution, the martyrdom, jail time, God says, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
And, I've said this before. When I started understanding end times and eschatology that we're going through this, I was honest with God. I can't, God. My flesh says, give in.
Yeah.
Take the mark. But with those two verses in Mark 13:11 and Luke 21 says, it's not on you. I'm going to take over. I'm going to take over your soul.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to rest on you. I'm going to comfort you at that time. And I'm gonna take over so you can eliminate your flesh from this, and the Holy Spirit is gonna guide you through it.
I will never leave you
nor
forsake you.
That's right. I'm hanging my hat on
there
that.
There you go.
I'm hanging my life on when they come after us, I'm gonna go, Lord, you have me.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Well, I think the doctrine of the rapture, when people proclaim it, there's never that joy.
Right.
There's always a like, oh, I don't know. There's just something about it.
Yeah.
There's no peace.
Yeah.
When you study this doctrine that's in the Bible,
it's, right?
You do become very excited because
it
you know
is.
God will take you through.
Yeah.
That whole rescue theme does nothing.
Yeah.
To,
it's self-centered.
Yeah.
It really is. A pre-trib rapture is self-centered. It's about me. A post-trib glorifies Christ.
It does glorify Christ.
It does.
And that you, the knowledge that God will give you what you need.
That's right.
For the time
is
much more peaceful.
Even
though it's harmful in a sense, it's much more peaceful and joyful.
And every person here could say, you know when he's intervened in your life.
Amen.
I don't have to go any farther than the clot shot about this.
Right.
I think every person here, I know there's some in the chair, but I know every person here said, I'm not touching that thing. That's not you. That's him.
Mm-hmm.
That's him. This world is being prepared to receive things without questioning it. We are being prepared, whatever they're doing, don't do it.
Right.
And that's not us.
That
is the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. This is a wonder, but God is wonderful. James, that's right.
Come out of her, my people.
That's right.
Right?
Two people. There's two people going on here.
The world system that everybody right now is kind of sucked into.
Including the church, Curtis.
Including the church, yes. Is sucked into this whole ideal of satisfaction right now.
That's right.
Of the dainties of this world, all those things. And God says, come out of her, and then Satan comes and chastens the church, and then God saves her.
Yeah,
he opens up a spot for her.
Is that what it's talking about in Isaiah chapter 51, verse 23? Is that?
But you've got
that
read
be another
it to
representation
us.
Of Babylon the Great? It says, "But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over, and thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as a street to them that went over."
That's right,
because it's the system that's taking advantage of the captive.
It says, for thy sake, we are killed all the
day long.
That's,
that's
mystery Babylon.
Yeah, that's another representation of Babylon.
They're the ones killing the saints.
And power was given to him to overcome the saints.
Amen.
All right? And it is a glorious... it sounds really weird, but I'm really excited for the days that we're living in. We're going to see things. We're going to see power and provision and God's hand move on us, over us, greater than ever since they escaped from Egypt.
There is no doubt.
It's going to be that great.
See, this is what I say, too. This is what the pre-tribbers and the dispensationalists are missing out on. They're missing out on what God is going to do to the saved person during that time. They want escapism, easy believism. They're missing out on how you're going to glorify God, even in death, in these last days. That's exciting to me.
Yeah.
You know, I say it all the time. It sounds weird.
Yeah.
I almost want to go this way.
Yeah.
Because I feel I have not done enough as a believer.
Yeah.
Well, I think you got to be worthy to go that way.
Amen. You got to be worthy.
We have the martyrs that are died.
Yes.
That's right.
And why do we think we're in a better
place? That's right.
Amen.
Because we're Americans, Jim.
Right.
We got
we're
a constitution
blessed.
And a bill.
We abort babies.
We're different.
Okay, so James 1. James 1, 16.
The comforting thing, Tom, is nobody deserves it.
That's right.
That's a good
we deserve
way to
death
look at it.
And hell.
Because if you do really like think about it, and you go down that rabbit hole, you're like, I don't.
Well, what's my favorite line? I'm sick of myself.
Yeah.
I am just sick of myself. Let's get this over with. James 1:16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's no gray areas
right.
with God.
Amen.
Okay? Of his own will he begot us with the word of truth.
Amen.
That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
Yeah.
The first fruits. By the word of truth.
A kind of
in
first
the spirit.
Fruits. Right?
Right?
Yeah.
So your spirit hears the word of God, and I get that first fruit of the Holy Spirit dwelling in me.
And again, like you said, in the first fruits, the first harvest, the early harvest that comes to Israel, they were supposed to bring to the temple and offer it up.
That's right.
Right? So if we are a kind of first fruits, we bring our offering, which is us, everything that's in you, and you offer it before the Lord.
That's right.
You know, it's I'm no longer mine. I've been
that's
bought
right.
with the price.
Kevin says it.
Yeah.
Die to yourself.
Yes.
Do it. Don't just, these aren't just
yeah.
poetic words. Do it.
Right.
Die to yourself. Die to this world. Die to the sports. Die to the music industry, entertainment, politics. Die to it. Live for Christ.
The dainties of Babylon.
That's right.
Right? All of the niceties, all of the Facebook, all of the Twitter, all of the TikTok, all of the Fox News, all of that garbage.
The things of this world.
The things of this world.
Die to
yeah.
it.
Again, God's not going to leave us. I mean, he promises us some stuff, right? Food and clothing. With that, be content. How happy would we be with just a thing of beans and an old raggedy shirt? Right? Because you look at those in Hebrews chapter 11, right? What did they have? They had sheep's clothing. They lived in the wilderness, the dens of the rock. They didn't have three cars in their garage.
That's right.
You know, they had God, and they were satisfied and taken care of. And the world was not worthy.
I'm blessed.
Amen.
Friday.
Right?
I'm blessed.
Absolutely.
They think that the blessing of God is you having a house here and house in Florida.
That's right.
Having three cars in the driveway.
Yeah.
That's what they think the blessing of God is in this country.
I
Wrong.
Think it's the curse.
It is.
I mean, that's the deception
it is.
To think
it,
that we're
it
blessed
is.
Because of the...
And you're only a vapor.
Yeah.
You're only here
that's
for
right.
a while.
That's right.
Yeah. You got
yeah.
a whole eternity after
yep.
this.
Yeah. Which is much longer than a vapor.
And Paul said it was better to be there than here.
Than here.
That's right.
Absent from the body.
The only reason why you want to be here is if you got work to do for the Lord.
That's
right.
Yes. And until that day comes, let us labor diligently.
That's right.
For the high calling of Christ.
Do you want to say something, Gayla?
I was just going to say, thank the Lord for the persecuted church, or we would be all wrapped up in ourselves.
Yeah.
But they call us to accountability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they say that they're not... that God counts them worthy enough to suffer for
yeah.
him, that like just undoes your American Christianity,
yeah.
right? Like, what?
Yeah.
Well,
okay, so there's something neat here. Turn to Mark 4. These are the parables. Did God? Why did God give us the parables? To understand the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, right? And this is where you find the parable to see the sower. So look at Mark 4. I think this is neat. Look at 26. And he said, so is the kingdom of God as a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed shall spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth her fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full corn. First the blade, the body,
yeah.
then the spirit, the ear, then the full corn, the harvest, the resurrection.
Resurrected, yeah.
And when the fruit, but when the fruit is brought forth immediately, he putteth in the sickle, sound familiar?
Mm-hmm.
Because the harvest is come. This is fascinating to me. First you're born of a human body, the blade. Then you get the ear, right? That the ear is the covering. The Holy Spirit comes on you, right? And then the full corn. When it comes to fruition, when it comes to its fullness, harvest time, it's resurrected the full ear and the corn together. Mm-hmm. The spiritual resurrected body.
Yeah.
When? At the harvest.
And you don't harvest the leaves.
It's right. Then,
yes.
It's right.
It's the fruit.
It's the fruit.
Yep.
Yep.
So the flesh isn't, we don't care about the flesh of the corn either.
Right. Yeah. The shoot. Yeah. Oh, shoot.
Go ahead, Lance.
So you're saying God makes puns too?
Makes what?
Puns.
Yeah. Yeah. They're pictures. They are pictures, right? I mean, you have a whole bunch of things going on here. Look at verse 8. But let's do this in Matthew. Let's do this. Turn to Matthew 13.
What was it? John 12:32, unless the grain falls to the ground and die, it remains in itself.
Yeah.
But if it dies, it bears fruit.
Yep. So here's the parable of the seed and the sower. And here's, like Curtis brought up, I think somebody else brought up the wheat and the tares.
Yeah.
Right? So this is a great, we'll just read right through this. Doug, you want to read Matthew 13, 24 to 30.
Okay. Everybody there?
Amen.
And another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them that way? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn.
Okay, so they're going to ask him, look at 36. And Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. And he answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. What is the seed? It's the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God that became flesh. The field is the world. The seed are the children of the kingdom. The good seed are the... I read that wrong.
Yeah.
The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed him is the devil. The harvest is the beginning of the seven-year tribulation. Right? The reapers are the angels. They're the servants up here that said, should we gather them? Right? Therefore, the tares are gathered and burned into fire, so shall it be at the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and he shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them that do iniquity, and cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. When do we get the kingdom? When he comes. When are they cast in? They're cast in, and then we enter the kingdom.
Well, look at how Jesus said this, because I think it's really neat now that we're looking at this thing in a biblical sense instead of a dispensational teaching. The Son of Man, verse 41, Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all the things that offend. What gets taken?
That's
the kingdom
right.
comes down.
That's right.
The unrighteous, the things that are not welcome in the kingdom get pushed
That's
out,
right.
get taken out of the way.
That's right.
And they're bundled, they're cast out.
Absolutely.
And we're gathered and held until the until we come shining forth as a sun in the kingdom.
When? That's
the
resurrection,
it's,
right? That's the last day. You know, we studied this when we studied I can't remember what it was, but it was Joel.
Mm-hmm.
When Christ comes out and he slaughters the world at Armageddon, we come with him, resurrecting, he slaughters him at Armageddon. Within an hour, they're
right.
raised again at the Valley of Jehoshaphat, and they stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Then they go into their place, and we enter into the kingdom.
Right.
Same day.
Same
it's
day.
The same day. Go ahead.
Yeah, and Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. What is it referring to that the kingdom of heaven is going to be leavened, like, as a whole in three measures?
It's going to be filled, right? I mean, we're leavened, we're sinful, but it's a picture of the kingdom getting filled with unrighteous people who now became righteous.
Well, remember, in leaven, yeast... It leavens the whole lump.
That's right.
It just takes a little bit.
That's right.
And the little bit of righteousness that as you walk in God, it will fill you. I mean, in the physical life, it'll fill you. And in the eternal life, it will reward you.
But, yeah, you know, like you're saying there, too, I mean, Doug read it. When verse 26 there says, the blade sprung up and
mm-hmm.
brought forth fruit. So the wheat and the tares, they're both come as, they look the same.
Yeah.
Right?
Until the day, right?
They look the same. They're both brought up. And then one gets golden,
mm-hmm.
right? Like gold, purified gold, the wheat, and the tare, the darnel. You see this in the fields.
Yeah.
Right? They turn black. This isn't a racist statement. This is the burning of the wicked. And this is their resurrected body. They're not going to get the resurrected body Bonnie's going to get. They're going to get a resurrected body to suffer forever, a burning body. Ours is going to be glorified walking with Christ, right? Two bodies, wheat and tares. And when are they separated? Harvest is at the end of the world. When is the end of the world? Jesus said, my coming is at the end of the world.
Same parable with the good fish, bad fish, right?
Yeah.
Cast in the net all at the same time.
You know what? We're there.
Okay.
We're right there. Is that it? Or is it 20?
Go
ahead.
It says... and they gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity.
Yeah.
The same passage in Mark.
Come on.
Verse 17, and have no root in themselves. So these are those that are sown on the stony ground, who have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. In verse 17, have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake. Immediately they are offended.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 So the thing is, probably they're seeing the good parts.
Yeah.
Promise of a resurrection in heaven forever.
Yeah.
And that all sounds good. I'll buy into that right away until I find out
rapture.
What goes with that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then they get offended, and quick as they're offended, when they realize what they have been taught and they believed their whole Christian
that's
life.
That's right.
Turns out not to be what the Bible said all along. They're offended.
The church, especially in America, and when I say church, I'm not talking Catholics.
No.
I'm talking fundamentalists, people that churches we went to, Baptist, Calvary. That's right.
Yes.
They are being set up.
Yeah.
They are being set up for a big lie that when their pre-trib rapture doesn't happen, there's nothing that says about a 7-year. There's nowhere. We see a 3.5 year of great tribulation.
Right.
When that doesn't happen, 2 Thessalonians makes it clear they're ones that are going to fall away.
Yeah.
They are, because they love the doctrines of men instead of the love of
the
word of the truth.
Even in our body right here, when we started teaching this, the ones who left, they got offended.
That's right.
Because they got offended.
They don't like it.
They weren't going to have this glorious rapture where they're going to be taken out. So they got mad and left.
That's right.
You know, I'm going to take my Bible and go home.
Conflicted with their own doctrine.
That's right.
Conflicted.
Well, I know when we try to talk to people we know about it.
Yes.
They say, we know we're from. We've got it. We've studied it. We know. You don't need to tell us.
Yeah.
You know, you better watch what you're doing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have I become your enemy before I tell you the truth? We have. We've become their enemies because we tell them the truth.
Right.
And they don't like the truth.
Right.
So they say, well, they're a bunch of heretics over there. They're kind of... Go ahead.
The problem with, you know, treating these parables like it's a history lesson You know, it's designed to reveal the secrets of the foundation.
Absolutely.
Of the world.
Absolutely.
And it says that in chapter 13, verse 35, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation.
That's right.
The
parables are for us.
Yeah, and that's
right.
That's for, like, future.
That's right. So there's a lot of people that we would say are our brothers and sisters. They're reading the parables.
They don't
understand them.
There's truth in it. Yeah, but when you have commentary saying that, well, this isn't what Job meant.
Right.
Yeah, Jesus didn't explain the parables to the Pharisees and Sadducees.
That's right.
He explained them to his disciples.
Yep. And so here, like we said, we're there in Matthew 13, 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net, which was cast in the sea and gathered out every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels. You know what vessels are? A resurrected body. Vessels and the bad, and cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and cast them into a furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. When Jesus Christ appears, the angels appear. Right? This makes sense. This is 1 Thessalonians 4, Matthew 24. When he appears, the angels appear, and the angels gather them unto him. How could this be even 1,000 years later? This has to take place at the second appearing of Jesus Christ. Okay. 1 Corinthians 15.
The ending of the first passage we read in Matthew, he that hath ears to hear, let him
hear. Yeah.
Is in Revelation 3:22, Revelation 3:6, Revelation 2:29, Revelation 3:13. Hello.
And who's he talking to? Gayla, who's he talking to? Who is Jesus Christ talking to in the book of Revelation? The church. But yet they say, well, no, after Revelation 4, he's no longer talking to the church. Nowhere does it say, I'm not talking to the church.
I never understood that.
You know what they'll say? They'll say, at Revelation 4, the church is not mentioned anymore on the earth.
But when you read the Bible, it is mentioned.
But not only that, they've got a problem too, because there's Revelation 5, 7, anyway, there's at least 7 or 8 chapters where there's a heavenly picture.
Mm-hmm.
The church isn't mentioned. So they got a problem too, because
the word church is not mentioned.
It's right. And if they're there, how come he's not mentioning them? What is mentioned is the elect, the saints, the overcomers. That's everybody. And this idea that, well, it's like they're just lying. It's sickening. All right.
First time you gave that same picture.
Yeah.
The wheat and the tares.
Yeah, that's right. Over and
plenty
over.
Of pictures of it.
How can you read 1 Thessalonians, which they love, the rapture verse, 1 Thessalonians 4, they love that, mm-hmm. and not compare that to Matthew 24?
Right.
There's so much that are tied together between Matthew 24 and 1 Thessalonians 4, but they don't like Matthew 24 because Matthew 24 puts it at the end of the world.
And plus, that's only for the Jews.
That's right. So they say, well, Matthew 24, that's written to the Jews. Okay, well, Mark 13, is that written to the Jews? Because that says the same thing.
Don't confuse me with your facts.
That's right.
It reminds me, too, when Jesus said he was getting a big group of followers and he told them, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you can't follow me. And people didn't like that.
Yeah. That's right.
So it's like that.
They rejected it.
They
were his disciples.
Yeah.
Right? They weren't a bunch of Buddhists that said, I ain't doing that. They were actually following him, Kev. And when he said that, they go, and so that's John 6. And John 6:66 says many walked away from him after that.
That's also a representation of the word calling people, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
At the end, when the flesh is gone.
Is there any doubt in your mind that this book we hold right here is Jesus Christ? It is.
Yeah. He in himself.
Right? It became flesh.
Yeah.
and that dwelt among us, and I beheld his glory.
Right.
I can pick this up and behold his glory. And I do see a glorious king in here.
And the interesting thing that you had picked up, I've read that story because we talked about Friday evening, folks who get offended, all right? The folks that got offended and they left. Well, that happened with Jesus too in that very same account. How many people did Jesus run after
right.
when they left?
Right.
None.
Not
That's
one.
Right.
That big crowd that left.
Yep.
He didn't chase any of those guys. He said, listen, if you want to go,
yeah.
you can go. But if you want to stay, I have a reward for
That's
you.
That's right.
But if you, I'm not going to force you and I'm not going to chase you. I'm not a man chaser, right? And because when we talked about that, I gave it some thought. And the folks who have decided not to go this avenue with us, I love you, but if you don't want to go this road, you ain't got to go this road.
Right.
But I'm not going to take time and chase after you.
Right.
Because if you don't want it, you don't want it. And we can't, I don't have, I got people I got to minister to here. I can't chase you, right, to go after you. If you want to come back, you're always more than welcome.
Well, I think it becomes a pride issue, too,
yeah.
is that you keep... You know, the people that have left here, we said, like we were saying Friday night, they offer no biblical explanation of their disagreement with you.
Yeah.
Well, come, let us reason together.
Right.
You don't like what I'm saying, get the scriptures and let's go. But instead, they just said, I'm out of here. I'm not going
or
back there.
You're mean.
Well, I know I...
I think also it humans are... You know, geared, you know, more towards the fleshly or whatever. So it's like no man, you know, hated his flesh.
Right.
I think that way. So it's like, well, these people don't want to be accountable.
That's right.
For their fleshly body. So that it's hard for them to see that viewpoint.
Yeah.
You know, and then the instant reward.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So 1 Corinthians 15 is a resurrection chapter. I mean, the whole chapter is about the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the saints,
mm-hmm.
right? So look at what it says here. Oh, we're doing good. So verse 20. Nancy, you want to read?
Yep.
20 to...
So where are we going?
1 Corinthians 15, 20 to 24.
But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the firstfruits, afterward they that are Christ's at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power.
Keep reading at 27.
But he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy shall be destroyed is death, for he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him.
Okay, so there's a lot going on here. There's a lot of meat here. First of all, verse 20. Christ is the first fruit of the resurrection.
Amen.
See, he didn't need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit before I can get resurrected. He already had the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So my first fruit is first I need to receive the Holy Spirit.
You must be born again.
That's
or
right.
You cannot see
That's
the
right.
kingdom of God.
But there is also a first fruit
mm-hmm.
of that Spirit being resurrected like Christ was. So if I've received the first fruit of the Spirit, there is going to be a first fruit of a resurrection. Revelation 20 says the blessed first. The blessed get resurrected first. And there's an he
and
says there's an order to
he
it.
He holds it to them that slept.
That's right.
Past tense.
That's
yeah,
right.
Those
elaborate on that. He did. What do you mean he didn't need the Holy Spirit?
Because
he already had the Holy
it.
Spirit. He was born with the Holy Spirit. You can never separate the
yeah.
the child in the womb
he didn't have to receive it because he already had.
Yeah,
that's what he's saying.
I thought you were saying he didn't need it.
No, he was off. No, I'm sorry. Yeah,
because he'd already received it when he was baptized. Also, the Holy Spirit.
Well, that was for man. It was to fulfill all righteousness. That was so man could see. The Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in the same place at the same time.
So we as a man can tell that he had the Holy Spirit.
Right, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, I didn't mean it that way. He had already had the Holy Spirit. And so, and John the Baptist, too, is the only human being, it says, greater is he that were after John, because John was born with the Holy Spirit, too.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So there's a lot going on here. Christ is the first fruit, and we're talking about a resurrection. We see we have the first fruit of the Spirit, but then there's a resurrection coming with it. Verse 21, by death, by one man came death, by one man the singular, the, not resurrections, the resurrection of the dead. For in Adam all die, and in Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an order to the resurrection. Christ the first fruits. So there's the order. He's first, right? Christ the first fruits. After they that are Christ at his coming. So there's an order to this. And
all of it is done at that day.
That's right.
Coming, even though it's in parts, the dead raised first and then we which are alive.
Even though it's an order, it can happen quickly. And there's a reason for it. First of all, they have to see us going up to him.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4. This is going to explain some things. So don't forget, like Deb said that perfectly. There's an order to it, but he puts it at the same day. At Christ coming. He only comes back one more time. So there's an order to the resurrection. 1 Thessalonians 4.
It's saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 29. Says, else what shall they do which are baptized for the dead, if the dead rise not at all? Why are they then baptized for the dead? So why be baptized if you're not going to be resurrected?
Yeah.
So it seems like it's hinting that these people are going to be dead.
But what is that baptism? See, there's an earthly baptism that shows your allegiance to Jesus Christ, but there's a holy baptism of the Holy Spirit. That comes
is
upon
this, isn't this talking about the new flesh, though?
I think so.
Well, the new flesh, and plus there's the baptism of John, and then there's the baptism of Jesus.
Right.
There's the baptism of water.
That's right.
Which is a confession of repentance from sin, and it's an outward confession of something that's already happened inside of you, which was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Through Christ.
Right. Right? Absolutely.
So when he came, he baptized with the Spirit and with fire.
Yeah, when it says verse 22, it's not just saying, you know, that because all man sins, they die.
Right.
That's also hinting at
death.
They're all going to die. Yeah. The ones that are in Christ are going to live.
That's right. Two people.
Yeah, it doesn't mince
after
words.
After your flesh dies.
That's right.
Yeah, it doesn't mince words there.
Okay.
I see how that can be confusing when you're taught a separate doctrine, you don't quite understand what that's saying.
Right. Okay, so let's look at the order. Same day, right? But let's look at the order.
4:13.
I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are dead, right? Asleep.
Mm-hmm, asleep.
That ye sorrow not, even as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Bring him where? Right?
Yeah.
He's coming. He's bringing them here. What did we just read? That he's going to deliver up the kingdom to the Father. 15. For this we say by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. So he's only coming one more time, right? Shall not prevent them which are asleep. We don't go before the ones that are dead if you're alive. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. So every saint that has died and gone into heaven, they get resurrected first, right? then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up to meet them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. There's a resurrection. Comfort each other. There's a resurrection coming. You can see the order, and like Doug said, people see the order, and they try to spread it years apart. The order is the same day. The dead get resurrected first. Then the one which are alive and remain, they get caught up. But there's another group, right, Doug?
The way I see it is of the dead in Christ are also called first fruits. So
right, absolutely.
These dead are the rest of the first fruits.
That's right.
Then you have the harvest, which is we which are alive and remain.
That's right.
And then you have the Jews who witness it being the gleanings.
Zechariah. So now there's Jewish people that need to be resurrected, right? Zechariah, look at Zechariah 12. There's a lot to read here. But I want to get to 13. But look at Zechariah 12. Look at 2. We're just going to go through some of these. Behold, I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling unto some of the people. All people.
Yeah.
Round about, when they shall be in siege both against Judah and against Jerusalem. Verse 3. In that day. What day? I will make Jerusalem a burdensome stone for all people, and all that burden themselves shall be cut in pieces, though all the people of the earth shall be gathered against it. Who's gathering them? Christ. There is going to be a harvest of the wicked, too. They're going to gather against Jerusalem. Look at look at 6. In that day, I will gather the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire. Mm-hmm. Verse 8, in that day the Lord shall defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them in that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord. These are good passages right now. 9, and it shall come to pass in that day. We get the idea here that he's talking about that day, right? That day I will seek to destroy some of the nations, all nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Not by keeping the law during the 7-year tribulation. They're going to get saved the same way we got saved, by the spirit of grace and supplication. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. When? When he appears. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be a mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadarimon in the valley of Megiddo. Mm-hmm. It's Armageddon right there, right? And the land shall mourn every family apart, the house of David apart, their wives apart, the house of Nathan apart, their wives apart. He's now dividing people. He's separating sheep from goat, wheat from tare, good fish from bad fish. Okay. And all the families that remain, every family apart, their wives apart. So look at 13. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house and into the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin. This is Revelation 22. Mm-hmm. The fountain that's opened. When? Verse 3, in that day, and it shall come to pass, when ye shall prophesy, so there you go. Verse 4, it shall come to pass in that day. Okay, look at 8. Look at verse 8. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, 2 parts thereon shall be cut off and die, but a third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire. There's your Jew getting saved and resurrected through the fire. The ones, like Doug said, there's still one more group that has to be resurrected on that day. And here they are. Hang on, Lance. And I will refine them. That's a resurrection word. Mm-hmm. I will refine them as refined as I will try them as gold. What do you remember we read that before?
Yeah.
The fiery trial is gold. Mm-hmm. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they will say, the Lord is my God. I know you want to jump in here, Lance, but I know Deb wants to wrap it up, so I just want to show you this. Turn to Ezekiel 37. So here's the Jew getting resurrected. See, when they see us go up to them, when they see us meet them in the clouds, a third of them are now going to receive the first fruits of the Spirit. And they are about to get resurrected as the fire is coming down, and he's going to bring a third of them through the fire. Verse 37, Ezekiel 37, this is good stuff here. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and he carried me in the spirit, and set me in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass round about, and behold, there was very many in the open valley, and lo, there was very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord, thou knowest. Again, he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord, you one-third Jewish people. Thus saith the Lord God of these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring flesh upon you. What flesh? They already had flesh. They just died. Flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. That's the Holy Spirit, right? And ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. There's a resurrection. They're dead and they're alive by the breath. So I prophesy, and I was commanded, and I prophesied. There was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, and there was no breath in them. Then said unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Remember how all this started a couple weeks ago? The four winds in Revelation 7 says, hurt not the earth till the four winds blow on to 144,000. Prophesy to the wind and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds. Go read Revelation 7 again. Breath and breathe on these that are slain that they may live. So I prophesy, as he commanded, and breath came upon them, and they lived and stood upon their feet and became a what? An army. It sounds like Armageddon. Mm-hmm. Sounds like they're being raised for Armageddon, right? Then said he unto me, Son of man, these bones are the sum of the house of Israel. The whole house of Israel. Old Testament, New Testament, old saints, new saints, being resurrected. Behold, they say our bones are dried up and our hope is lost. We are cut off of our parts. Therefore prophesy unto them, thus saith the Lord, behold, my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves. It's a resurrection. The word graves does not necessarily mean to be put 6 feet under. The word graves mean a place of death. Okay, verse 14, and I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live, and I shall place you in your own land, and you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and have performed it. Okay. So, everybody see this? Does everybody see what's going on here? There is a resurrection, and there's a resurrection and an order to it, but yet within the same day, and I'll say within the same hour, because we'll look at next week, there's also the damned, they have to be resurrected, right? That's John chapter 5. They have to get resurrected too. But you can see right now that the blessed are being resurrected. That's Revelation 20. They get resurrected first, then the damned get resurrected, and they go to the earth.
Well, you say in the same day, I think it's much shorter. It's in a moment, and a twinkling an hour.
They had twinkling of the resurrection of the just is within an hour, right? Yeah. And then the unjust, John chapter 5 says, the hour is coming that the dead shall hear the voice. They that have done good to the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. So that resurrection of the just and the unjust is within an hour of each other. Go ahead.
So
First Thessalonians chapter 5, 9 through 10 talks about even though that we're not